her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man looks like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
Gonna get the guy's thoughts on the Milwaukee Bucks. First action in the postseason, or inaction as it were, a little bit later in the show. I want to get Gabe's reaction to Chewy's offering of Matthew Golden as the Packers pick in the first round of the draft this week. And if you've been listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy for a bit now, you know we've been talking about the draft in the weeks leading up to this week's event. And we have gone back and forth about the direction that we think the Packers will go. I got to admit, last week was the first time I thought a lot about the Packers going with a cornerback. Field Yates on the show talking about some of the guys who are out there who he thinks might be a good fit for Green Bay, the Jaire Alexander, how that contributes to it. We talked about Potawatomi having the odds at plus 175 that they go with the quarterback second in the tier in the list of which direction Green Bay may go. So Chewy throws out Golden. He did some homework. He did some research this weekend. Chew, just remind the loyal listeners in case they missed that segment what you like about Golden for the Green Bay Packers.
I love his speed. Who he reminds me of, and I know we can't crown him yet, but I look at him as like a Tyreek Hill, Antonio Brown. Take the nuttiness out of Antonio Brown. I think he's got the potential to be that type of player. I mean, just look at how good Tyreek Hill was in Kansas City's heyday when they were winning all those Super Bowls. You know, that would be a nice fit. His height is a little concerning, but I think it's a fair trade-off when the guy runs a 4.29. That's a playmaker.
The speed is something I think the Packers lack offensively just about through. And I know Wildy and Tausch have talked about, you know, Josh Jacobs and how he's more of a bruiser. Yeah, every once in a while he can hit you a home run, but he's more of a bruising type back. They don't have that explosiveness with Christian Watson down outside of Bo Melton, and Bo Melton's a bit player, right? Like, they don't have that speed with somebody they actually trust and want to put out there on the field all that often. I think Matthew Golden, to me, is, I agree with Chew. Like, he's the one guy I continuously kind of come back to of, if they take someone in the first round, I probably want it to be Golden. But also in my mind, Tet McMillan's just not going to be there. Like, in my mind, I've already thought, okay, he's the best receiver in this class. He's not going to be there. Matthew Golden, he kind of solves that explosiveness issue that the Packers have with no Christian Watson for the first handful of months. And then, again, you don't know what's going to happen with Christian Watson going forward. Don't know if you're going to sign him to a contract extension. Don't know if you're going to give him 1 year at the end. Like, having a wide receiver that has that type of speed and also has that type of success, almost 1,000 yards this year with Texas, like, that makes me feel good about that position going, okay, maybe he doesn't have, you know, a huge year in year one, but he can, as he's learning, still be able to use that speed as a different dynamic for the Packers. Kind of like Xavier Worthy, another guy who came out of Texas.
Did for the
Kansas City Chiefs last year. Worthy can probably grow, and Worthy's a little bit smaller than Golden is, but Worthy was able to use that speed, and they had gadget plays for him, right? Like, they had specific plays of, okay, we got to get this guy 3 or 4 touches just to see if he can break one with the speed. And if Golden doesn't develop into the number one we want him to be this year, I think he's fast enough and explosive enough where Matt LaFleur's going to go, hey, we got to make sure he's getting the ball at least a couple of times just to see if he breaks one at any point in every game.
You know who would love to have Golden as the first pick? Love. Love. Not love. Not love. Love would probably love to have.
I figured you were answering your own question with the quarterback loving to have a wide receiver.
I thought you were playing a pun.
Tucker Kraft would love to have him.
Tell us why.
Two guys that can fly on the outside and clear it out. For him, oh, be loving life. You know, if Christian Watson fully expect to play part of the season, hopefully they get a deal. Because having two guys that can fly on the outside, that's a tight end's dream. You know? Because then you don't have to worry. You know that if they're going to play cover two, that guy has to slide over the top to the outside on both sides, which makes your middle of the field lusciously delicious.
What is this, Lucky Charms?
Thank you. I was thinking the same thing. Magically delicious, Gabe. Easy to get those confused. You know, I'm one of these people, Chew, who in the past has gotten annoyed And I want to be clear as I tell this story, as I weave this tale, I want you to know I recognize the ridiculousness of it. But I have been annoyed when the teams I have rooted for have gone heavy with the defensive and offensive line. It's just not a sexy pick. I understand the importance? Do I understand how relevant it is to having success? Do I understand the relationship between having a strong offensive line, a strong defensive line, to being a playoff contender? I do. And yet, it's not sexy. It's not fun. And the Packers have, year in and year out, devoted resources to those positions. Have, you know, we've talked about Brian Gutekunst, and Brian Gutekunst loves drafting defensive players as well. There is a part of me that is like, we've waited so long for people who support the Green Bay Packers, for people who pull for the Packers, who want to see the Packers have success, for them to draft a top wide receiver, a skill position player. You know, we joked about Aaron Rodgers always saying he didn't have enough talent around him. Whether or not you agree with that sentiment or not, they obviously didn't go out and draft guys like that in the first round. There is a part of me that is salivating at the possibility that this could be the year, based on a number of different things. Based on need, yes. Based on that we saw that the receiver by committee didn't get the job done. We thought maybe they could break the mold to be one of those teams that had a lot of B players, a lot of number twos that somebody would elevate to a number one, or that they could just all together be stronger than one individual guy. But it didn't happen. So now there's all of this part of me that the logic is also coming together with like the fantasy of a splash number one wide receiver, first round of the draft. And I recognize, Gabe, that it still may not happen, but that's where my hope is for night one of the NFL draft for the Green Bay Packers.
Teams love speed. As much as we're talking about Golden, like, there's a chance that he's not there at 23. Like, depending upon, again, how you feel about, you know, in what position you put Travis Hunter at, Golden's the third best receiver, it seems, across the board. Whether you're looking in the beast that you have there, Jen, whether you look at Mel Kiper's, you know, his big board, and it seems like the consensus is he is the next best receiver behind Tet McMillan. Like, it's Tet, and then it's Matthew Gold.
Gabe, do you know if they brought in Derek Harmon, the tackle from defensive tackle out of Oregon? Because that's my fear. That's my fear.
I do not believe they did.
You know what's interesting?
I will double check.
We're talking about the wide receivers, and we have done the thing that a lot of people have done, which is immediately go to Tet. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not the number one wide receiver, though, is he?
No, yeah. Travis Hunter is.
Thank you.
Oh, Travis.
Well, I was about to say, it depends upon where you put Travis Hunter.
Isn't
some people list him
though?
At some people list him at corner. Some people, and I mean, he's talked about how he wants to play both ways. I've heard some GMs say, "Oh yeah, I'd play him at corner and then sprinkle him in at wide receiver." Andrew Berry, who's the GM of the Browns, has said, "Oh, we'll play him at wide receiver and sprinkle him in at cornerback." So it's kind of
called him Otani.
Yes, also called him Shohei Otani, which
wrong.
Yeah. Don't need to get into that, but
total sidebar here though, guys, but if you are CB1 for whatever team drafts Travis Hunter, and Travis Hunter, you know, is primarily going to play offensive, but he wants to be sprinkled in on defense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a great way to start. If you're cornerback one, if you are the guy on your team who that's your job, do you love Travis Hunter coming in and being like, but occasionally I'm going to step in on the field with you and take some snaps?
How is that any different than a nickel? Because that's kind of how they would use
that's
him.
That's what we would have to be.
Yeah, that's how they would kind of use him, is, you know, nickel and dime situations, is put him in. I know most teams play nickel 75% of the time now, but yeah, it depends upon how you want to use him.
If he's your number one shutdown corner, they don't want him playing offense. No. You know, it's like, did you want Jair returning punts? You don't want, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's why that's why they're taking it out of Keyshawn's, because Keyshawn's probably going to be a starting corner, and they don't want him being a return guy. That's why they went out and got Hardman. So.
The highest ranked true defensive tackle that they have brought in, Walter Nolan out of Ole Miss.
Okay. Because on my board, the kid out of Oregon's slated to go 23, and Nolan. Oh,
that is a name
that as well.
That is a name I have seen quite a bit, tracking all the different the mock drafts. Drew, that is a name I have seen mocked the Packers quite a bit.
Nolan and Harmon. How will you feel if they similar?
If they draft a D tackle, what will you? Yeah, fine.
I mean, it's fine. Like, it's a big need. Hard to be upset about it.
If they do, I would prefer it to be the better of the two at pass rushing, which I believe is Nolan. I would like a guy to be a penetrator and not just sort of the stand still and tough defensive tackle that we're so used to in Green Bay.
Yeah, I would understand wholeheartedly, Chu, if that's the way they went. Okay. It would be, like Jen said, it'd be a little sad and disappointing because, you know, you want somebody
not
big.
That sexy.
Even an edge rusher is more sexy, right? Because you're thinking, oh, man, how many sacks can this guy get? But if it ends up being a defensive tackle, I get it because they just need help everywhere on that defensive line.
Take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on. Still more draft stuff to get to, but I do want to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks and their performance against the Pacers. They'll play again on Tuesday. Will Dame Lillard be on the court? We'll discuss that right after this. What does it mean to be a local bank? At Great Midwest Bank, they may be small, but their coworkers really understand the local community because everyone is a part of it. Every one of them actually lives here in the Milwaukee land in your neighborhoods. Our customers live just down the street. We give them customized products and services that others can't offer, Great Midwest Bank says. So naturally, after almost 90 years, giving back is an obligation that Great Midwest Bank is proud to provide. Great Midwest Bank, simply giving, simply local.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You can just save yourself so much time by going, okay, we like this guy, this guy, this guy. Let's take a look at all the different things he did at the combine. I just hit my phone, and now my hand is just tingling.
What is with you two today? Jesus. Do you know how to function?
I just like...
On 94.5 ESPN.
Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's located in the heart of downtown Milwaukee's theater district. So convenient. And with deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music, you'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. For a limited time, you can enjoy exclusive seasonal rates starting at $139 a night. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com.
The best you ever had is just a memory and those dreams.
Gabe, please make me feel better somehow about this Bucks series against the Pacers. Maybe you'll say, it's easy. Dame's coming back. They're going to figure out how to, I don't know, slow down the balanced attack of the Pacers. They won't be in Indianapolis for all of the games. Like, these are things that I could cling to, but right now I'm still feeling pretty despondent about the way that the Bucks showed up in the first game against the Pacers, absolutely getting blown out of the gym. Giannis had 36 points.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis came
12 rebounds. Yep.
Couldn't, you know, how many assists did he end up with? One?
One. I mean, when nobody else is making shots, it's tough.
So again, he can't do it alone, right? Can't do it by himself.
But do you remember how last year's series started?
Giannis was hurt, right?
Last year? But the what my point is, last year, game one, Bucks were up by 27 at the half. They went on and won. They dominated the game, especially starting the second quarter, kind of eerily similar to the way that the Pacers did. And the Pacers went on to win the series. So it's just one game. The Bucks had the best three-point shooting percentage as a team this year in the NBA.
What was it, like 36?
38. 38%. I don't think they're going to be shooting 24%. From three much longer. They've got to change stuff they're doing defensively. Kyle Kuzma just got lost. I was more distraught about Kyle Kuzma on defense than I was his not scoring any points on offense. Like, just wandering around the court for bad double teams leading to wide open threes for the Pacers early in that second quarter. But Dame's coming back, and that's going to give the Pacers something else they have to pay attention to on the defensive end.
But he's not going to come back and play 38 minutes. There's got to be some sort of ramp
up
here,
I would not be shocked, Chu, just based on the way they handled Chris returning earlier this year. Like, Middleton wasn't starting, but he was a part of the closing lineup just because it was easier for Doc to manage whatever minutes they wanted to manage if Chris was coming off the bench. I would not be shocked if Dame comes back in game two, if Dame comes back in game three, if Lillard comes off the bench, just because that's an easier way to manage whatever minutes they want to manage.
The bottom line is someone has to score other than Giannis.
Yep. Yeah, it's that simple. Right? It's to me, it is that simple. And a team that shot less than 25% from three, who was the best three-point shooting team in the NBA, I don't expect shooting performances like that to continue.
But I guess what I'm worried about, guys, is that the expectation is that that will be Dame. And I think we have to be, we have to temper our expectations for Dame. Yes, to your point, Gabe, he is the guy that they will have to counter. The Pacers cannot leave Dame open for him to shoot all day. But to Chewy's point, he's also going to still be working his way back from that injury. So it needs to be somebody else is the point. Mm-hmm. Who is the best candidate? Who is, and again, I am as frustrated with Kyle Kuzma as the next guy. I keep hoping, and I said this last week on Weekly Wager, I keep hoping that the next game, the next game, the next game is when it clicks for him, when he starts being a solid contributor offensively and defensively. I, too, not thrilled with the way that he was playing out there defensively. Felt like that's what gave the Pacers a lot of open looks. There were way too many possessions where it looked so easy for the Pacers. And I'm thinking to myself, it's not supposed to be this easy. This is the NBA, for goodness sakes. Like, but it looked like, you know, it looked like the Bucks were at times a team down at the YMCA playing an NBA team. Like, it was very frustrating to see how easily it was for the Pacers to just do what they wanted on so many possessions. Who is the next guy who you need to see a solid contribution from in order for this Bucks team to win next game?
I don't think it's one person. I mean, clearly, Tony and Prince, Kyle Kuzma have to score. Like, you can't just get 14 points out of your non-Giannis starters. But it's a combination of Prince. It's a combination of Kuz, Bobby Portis. And the three guys that actually did play well, Trent, Porter, and A.J. Green, have to contribute to have valuable minutes. Like, I don't think it's one guy, and I don't think it's just going to be, oh, here's clearly this guy. But it's a combination of some combination of those guys continuing to step up. And yeah, sometimes, you know, Bobby Portis will have 21 points, and then A.J. Green will only have 6. But it's a combination of all those other guys just trying to figure out a way to step up and actually be useful. Because Torian Prince, like, he was one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA this season. For him to get off one shot, I mean, to me, that's they were going a lot of ISO with Giannis, and he was just able to beat his guy one-on-one because the Pacers don't have an answer for him defensively. But they have to me, that's on Doc, where they've got to get more movement within that offense and try to get looks for Giannis within the movement of their offense instead of just hunting switches and having Giannis go ISO.
So the other thing that really frustrated me, Chew, in this game was the free throw percentage. As a team, they were terrible. Just look, they were just bad across the board. But Giannis is the guy. If Giannis is going to drive the lane and the Pacers' game plan is that they're just going to foul him repeatedly, consistently, he's got to take advantage of those opportunities. He can't go 8-for-15 from the line. Like, yeah. I know that we all love Giannis, and I know that he held up his end of the donkey from a point standpoint, but that was frustrating, Chew, to know that that's the game plan, to see it happening and developing very early in this one, and then for Giannis to struggle so mightily at the free throw line.
Yeah, but, you know, I actually feel better the fact that they got blown out.
Yeah, tell me why.
No, I do, just from a psychological standpoint. If you lose in a close one there, it's kind of like, oh, man, we let that one get away. Now it's like, hey, guys, we got our ass kicked, and that was embarrassing. So I fully expect the comeback.
All right, as the only professional athlete on the panel here, Chew, though, why does that work? Explain that to me.
Because you're embarrassed. You know, there's nothing worse than going into meetings, and I'm sure every sport is the same. There's nothing worse than going into a meeting the next day, watching the film or whatever, than having your coaches disappointed in you for whatever reason, because you didn't play well. That's the thing that tugs at you the most. And then you come back with that fire for game two. You rally the troops, you know, hey, Dame's coming back right around the corner. It's just a different mindset when you lose by one in a tight game going into game two as opposed to getting blown out. Because these guys have pride. They're a lot of pride. They know they stunk. So I think they'll be fine. I really do.
I don't know. I'm nervous. Joshy, where do you stand on this? I'm more nervous now. And again, I understand everything Chewy's saying from a psychological standpoint. I understand the addition of Dame Lillard. I did not expect it to be that bad, especially as we have continued saying, having the best player in the series in a Bucks uniform.
I certainly have more optimism than with Dame returning. There is a part of me that just thinks this isn't the right combination of players. And due to circumstances somewhat beyond management and coaching's abilities, like things happened in a way that made them a team that isn't the perfect mix and isn't the right mix. I don't know what even is a fair expectation for this team right now based on what I saw during the regular season. And there's plenty of factors you can point to that caused them probably to not perform the way they wanted to. But you would have hoped with Giannis, that game looked better. They basically didn't stand a chance after the first quarter, and that was discouraging in a way I didn't expect it to be. I'm leaving the case for optimism, but I'm not going to be shocked if there's a lot of disappointment in this.
That's how I feel as well.
Yeah.
I guess I'm guarding myself against, oh no, that game was an eye opener. Again, acknowledging all of the things, but to me it's like, oh crap.
Is there a dynamic here?
Outmanned, outclassed here.
Is there a dynamic for you, Gabe, and this is you're probably the most locked in, certainly more than I am. That they just have, the Pacers just have the Bucks number?
No, because the Bucks beat them 3 out of 4 times this season. Like, Chris only played in one of those games. Dame played in all 4. Like,
right. Were they going after it full bore?
Yeah.
Like, were they playing after all their starters?
The Pacers were playing poorly at the beginning of the season,
yeah.
and they've played better since the calendar flipped over to 2025, but... Like, I feel like the Bucks just have to tighten up again. They just allowed too many wide open threes. But you look at what the way they played in the second half. Like, they made a push in that second half. The second quarter just killed them.
Yeah.
Like they dug themselves way too deep of a hole that they just could not dig themselves out of. And having that other player in Damian Lillard, who A, can handle the basketball and take some of those responsibilities away from Giannis as well, I think that's going to really just open up a lot of things for this team. And while we keep saying, yeah, Dame's not going to go out there and play 45 minutes, I wouldn't be shocked if he's playing 35, because the one thing that he talked about and the one thing that has been discussed around it is the fact that he has been staying conditioned this entire time. Like, through the non-contact stuff, like, they found out right away, they got him on the blood thinners even before they had the diagnosis, but he knew, okay, if there's just some chance I can come back, I want to be ready to go. So I would not be shocked if he plays 35 minutes.
Has he been out a month?
3 weeks.
That's a long time.
It's not that long, though.
On basketball, it is.
I feel like he's going to be ready to go. He's going to be chomping at the bit. Okay. And I don't think that there's going to be anything that's, again, it's not like he's come. It's not like last year when he played through an Achilles injury, yeah. Right? Like it's.
Yeah, that's a nag.
It's. Yeah. He's not recovering from an injury. You know, something. He's not a pulled hamstring, or you know, he had an elbow issue. No, this was like a health related thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you have to guard against any of that. As long as he's feeling good physically, I mean, why not ride him?
Who does Pato have winning the series? Indiana favorite.
Probably.
I haven't seen them actually do series. Josh, I could be wrong on that, but like you can obviously bet game by game, but I didn't see
you
them.
You can bet series.
What was the...
Last I looked, it was Bucks were plus 170?
To win the series.
Yes. Yes. Wow. So they were underdogs.
Yeah, they were dogs. They're dogs in this game by 4.5.
Yeah.
And they were dogs in the game on Saturday as well, but mm-hmm. I thought it was 2 mm-hmm. or something. Was it 2?
I did not see the spread in that game. We could go back and look, I think. ESPN has that number still attached.
Giannis said, I think we were late. We were getting ourselves in a lot of scramble mode, which they were able to get downhill on and create for the next guy. And that's just because we were in scramble mode. He said he knows what they need to do for game 2. Doesn't want to share the ideas. That's smart strategy by you, Giannis, not to tell everybody what you guys plan to do to attack it. But Chewy, to your psychological standpoint, you don't think the Pacers have a psychological advantage here?
It could go the other way. You know, could go like, hey, we blew him out once. Let's rest a little bit. You know, I feel good about it. I think they'll win game 2. I really do. You come back after you've been embarrassed. I don't know who we played, Gabe, after that Indy game, but I can guarantee we probably won that game because we were embarrassed.
Hold, please. I can get that answer for you in about 15 seconds. And I get, well, I mean, you guys were also like, you know, one of the best teams in the NFL that year.
Yeah, and the Colts were like 3-10 at the time. They were absolutely terrible.
All right, so after you lost to the Colts, you played the Dallas Cowboys at Lambeau Field. First time you guys got to play
them.
Dallas at Lambeau, and you won 45-17.
And smoked, yeah. So, Jen, I would put some cabbage down on the Bucks for game 2.
What is your optimism level for the Milwaukee Bucks now after their game 1 loss against the Pacers? Let us know. We'll put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. You can go ahead and weigh in on that. We'll check the results as the show rolls on. Take a break. Be right back after this.
It's draft week in Green Bay and playoff time for the NBA and NHL. And our favorite daily fantasy sports app with the absolute largest payouts on Parlay is WANNA Parlay, W-A-N-N-A. I downloaded the WANNA Parlay app on my phone, and it is so much fun. You can compete against me and all the other Jen, Gabe, and Chewy listeners to see who can combine a few picks to build the best parlay and win. It's just $2 for taking home a huge cash prize. It's a blast and so simple to use, and there are new basketball, hockey, baseball, and combat sports contests every single week. And the best part, it is only $2. Plus, there are always free-to-play games as well. It just makes watching all sports so much more fun. Here's what you should do. Download the WANNA Parlay app, click around, and when you decide to upload money to play and get into the action, use promo code JGC for a 100% deposit match for up to $250. Download the WANNA Parlay app, use promo code JJC, and let's play the world's richest parlay today. Must be 18 years or older to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER today.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Let's think about this. Could you do 50 straight days of burgers?
That was very condescending. I just
let's put our heads together.
Again, I have children. I know condescending when I hear it. I can be, come
on. On 94.5 ESPN.
Nothing like a special delivery to the studio with a balloon. I'm a big balloon gal. I like balloons. I get them for my kids for their birthdays. And we have a balloon in the studio. We're bopping it around Bluey style. Keepy uppy. The Milwaukee Brewers delivered. We need to show Gabe. There we go. Oh, look at that. Gabe hugging the hot dog.
I think you should be hugging the other item that it's attached to.
What is it?
Balloons are so fun.
This?
Yes.
This is a tub of hot dogs that we got from the Brewers.
Hot dog tub.
How many people do they think work right on this show? We've got 1, 2, 3. We've got 10 hot dogs in here.
Yeah.
Is this something they're doing at the ballpark? Are they doing a bucket of hot dogs? Bucket of dogs?
So a little note came with it. Join the club. Welcome to Hot Dog Heaven, brewers.com/hotdogclub. So I went to the website. Become a member today and get a free hot dog at every home game. Starting May 2nd, you can satisfy your hot dog craving at every Brewers home game this season with an exclusive Hot Dog Club membership. For just $59.99, become a hot dog VIP and get a glizzy at every home game you go to. Welcome to Hot Dog Heaven. Plus, you get member-only experiences, top-rated recommendation for most hot dogs redeemed, and an exclusive Hot Dog Club trucker hat, which I think Joshy would absolutely rock.
Okay,
this hat is
Joshy.
Sick.
One more time. Give me the website.
Brewers.com/hotdogclub.
Oh, Hot Dog Club. I kept putting in hot dog, hot dogs with an S, Hot Dog Club.
I'm gonna try one of these.
Oh.
I wish they'd have brought some stadium sauce with it, but I can settle for some mustard.
Okay, $59.99. You become a hot dog VIP. And you get a free hot. Well, it's not free. You're buying into the membership,
right.
But you get it's like a car wash. Mm-hmm. It's like you get the car wash membership, and then you roll through, and then it's free, quote unquote, whenever you go to the car wash. They lift the arm for you. Read your scans, your license plate. So what I'm wondering is, do you get a card? You get like, what's your thing? You know, you have your license.
How do you redeem your? Yeah, I'm not sure.
You get a card that says that I'm part of the hot dog club.
Do I need to wear the hat to redeem? Do I need to be a hat wearer?
A hot dog club hot dog voucher for every remaining regular season home game will be automatically loaded into your MLB ballpark app upon purchase.
Amazing. So you just open up the MLB app,
mm-hmm.
The MLB ballpark app.
Yeah.
All right, I'm into it. I love hot dogs.
Yeah.
I'll take a hot dog over a hamburger. Yeah.
I will take a hot dog over a brat. I know that's like sacrilegious here in Milwaukee and Wisconsin, but I prefer hot dogs to brats.
I'll do both. I don't discriminate.
I didn't realize I needed a hot dog at 8:40 in the morning, but here we are.
I'm starting to salivate. I mean, I've got my hard-boiled eggs over here. I've got yogurt that
I
have.
I know you're trying to get more protein. Hot dogs and protein?
Yeah.
They're delicious.
I love hot dogs. Trust me.
Have a hot dog.
Anti-hot dog by any means. I am anti-glizzy, though. Can't do it. As soon as I said it, I was like, ah.
Don't love that word. Not my favorite word. I do like hot dogs. There's something, too, where, I mean, I don't consume many hot dogs in my day-to-day. I don't think most people do. But if I go to the ballpark, I'm getting a hot dog. I don't know what makes it taste better, what happens
when they get secret cooked. Stadium sauce. Oh.
Yeah, it's just you need a
hits
dog.
The spot, yeah.
If I had three of them yesterday.
You had a triple dog day?
Oh, yeah, I love hot dogs. Let me tell you what, Jen, you talk about Costco. Go to Costco and get the Usinger's hot dogs. They are the bomb. They are. There's nothing better. Put them over a campfire. Are you kidding
What's
me?
What's crazy is I don't need to be sold on this. Like I am in. I'm the person in my house that's like, I'm a little hungry. What do I want to do? And then there's nothing like a soft hot dog bun. You throw it in there. Now, again, what I love about it is it's customizable. Whatever your preferences are, you know.
Yeah.
If you like a mustard on your dog, if you like ketchup on your dog, you like relish, I don't care either. I know people that throw Sloppy Joes on top of their hot dogs. Little Sloppy Joe meat.
Yeah, kind of like a chili-ish dog.
Sloppy dog. I don't know. It's come up with something. Chili dog, obviously, fantastic as well.
Slaw dogs?
Yes.
A slaw dog. My go-to is like, what do you want for dinner? I don't want to go to the store. It's always a can of beans. Boil the hot dogs, cut them up, and put them in the beans.
And then for at least 48 hours.
Boil.
No wonder your wife wants something to be wrong with you.
Boiling hot dogs is the worst way to cook hot dogs.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
The hot dog water is the grossest thing I could ever imagine.
Hot dog water? What?
You just said you boil
after
dogs.
You boil it.
Yeah.
It's a Monday
game. It deserves to be on a... At very least, a griddle top.
You seriously boil your hot dogs, Chew?
If I'm going to cut them up and then put them in the beans, yeah. Absolutely.
Why won't you just grill them?
You got to start the grill up, and there's all that.
You gotta fill the pot with water. I feel it's the same amount of effort. It's less dishes too.
Well, you mentioned dicing up your hot dogs and throwing them in to the beans.
The beans? Yeah.
Apparently, the mac and cheese hot dog thing. Is a real thing. Joshy, you sent us this video, this viral video about people who throw hot dogs, dice them up and throw them into mac and cheese. And people were like, yeah, been doing that since the dawn of time.
Yeah, it all started because I believe somebody was picking on their roommate they called it a normal meal to make mac and cheese, the old Kraft style, and dice up some dogs and put it in there. Now, for me, when I was 8, that was very much a regular meal for me. I haven't gone down the hot dog and Kraft mac and cheese aisle in a long time. I don't know, like, is there a way to fancy it up maybe where you could maybe put a kielbasa in a
Well, I mean, the way to fancy it up is make your own mac and cheese, not make it the Kraft. But again, like there is something nostalgic. I'm with you. I have not done it in a while. I could not tell you the last time I had Kraft mac and cheese. But if I had it and I had some hot dogs in it, I would eat the bleep out of it.
I think if you put it, you put it in front of me, I'd down it. I don't see myself making it, but if it's an option, I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
I'm a little nervous, though, guys, that this is one of those things that we remember being better than it actually is. I got a bunch of those. Things that, like, when I was a kid, they were the bee's knees. They were fantastic. But now I try them as an adult, and I'm like, oh, it's not. Now, maybe the quality's gone down. You know what I did that with a couple years ago? SpaghettiOs. Okay. When I was a kid, SpaghettiOs were amazing. If we got SpaghettiOs, I was like, what's the occasion? And I tried, I was like, I got them for my kids. And I was like, you guys, wait till you try these SpaghettiOs. They were like, no, thank you. My kids who live on chicken nuggets were like, no, thank you to SpaghettiOs. So what changed? They changed the recipe. Our palates have evolved. What's the difference between when we were kids and I loved me some SpaghettiOs and my kids who do not have the most discerning palates, I think is what I'm trying to say, saying no, thank you to eating the SpaghettiOs.
Well, for me growing up, the fancy place we went out to eat for the longest time was Applebee's. So,
we didn't get an Applebee's until I was in high school.
So SpaghettiOs to me at that point were just sort of the standard fare.
Yeah.
What about
the ravioli? Ravioli's even better.
SpaghettiOs better than the ravioli.
I think SpaghettiOs family ruined the meatball for me ever since those little things that they put in the can, those
whatever they are, because they're not meatballs.
Yeah, I think that ruined me with meatballs for the rest of my because I don't eat them currently. and
you
I haven't.
Yeah, but wait, you don't eat real meatballs? Like,
no.
From, like, Gloriosa's?
What, you wouldn't
or
get, like, if I put a meatball sub in front of you, you wouldn't eat it?
I would not.
Whoa.
What?
I mean, I probably would, but it's not what I would get. Let's be honest here.
Yeah, but Josh.
I'm not ordering myself meatball anything ever.
Oh, wow. What is the stuff inside the ravioli? That looks more like refried beans than it does, like, ground beef.
That's true.
I mean, it's probably the same
it's
thing.
Like it's
chewy. It's probably the same thing of whatever the SpaghettiOs meatball is.
Yeah, and let's be honest, they were incredible. I mean, they
so
just
good.
Were. But again, I'm still wondering, like, if the mac and cheese and the hot dogs is something that sounds better in principle than in actuality.
I can't imagine. You know what a hot dog tastes like? It's delicious. You're throwing it in Kraft mac and cheese? Like, Kraft mac and cheese is still, like...
is the ratio, though. It all comes down to... Dining and eating all comes down to the ratios of the ingredients. You got to nail it. Is it one hot dog per bowl of mac and cheese?
I mean, you're probably going to eat the bowl of mac and cheese by yourself, right?
You mean the pan?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You're sharing?
Yeah, I mean, but the box of Kraft is a single serving.
Everyone knows that.
Yeah, that's just simple.
Well, in my house, the box of Kraft mac and cheese, and we've upgraded a little bit. We've gone to the Goodles. Anybody do Goodles?
Don't even know what that is.
Love a Goodles. Chase will eat a whole box by himself, and then the girls can split one, 50-50. Right, but they're 7 and 5. That makes sense.
Can you define Goodle?
It's a good noodle. I'm pretty sure that's their catchphrase. That's their slogan.
Oh, is that just a different? Like, it's not like
Velveeta, the shells and cheese.
Yeah, like it's just. Is it just the classic elbow macaroni and a cheese?
No, you can get like a Parmesan with a spiral. No. So you got some options there. You got to Google Goodles. That's a tricky thing to say, by the way. You got to Google the Goodles.
What is the cheese? Is it a powder like the Kraft?
It is a powder. Okay. Same type of thing. You mix it with the milk. You mix it with the butter. Not trying to reinvent the wheel over here. Just trying to maybe elevate it a little bit. You know, your taste buds.
Well, that's
and
what Velveeta exists for that reason already.
Oh, right. Yeah. Look, we all know that you got Velveeta shells and cheese when we were kids. You were rich. Okay.
It was a special.
We're eating fancy.
Yeah.
It's a napkin on the lap type of meal.
Exactly. I got two.
Maybe tuck it in. Tuck it into the shirt.
800-990-3776. A brewer sent over a bucket of hot dogs. You can join the hot dog club.
I love this hot dog club hat. I can't stop looking at it.
I haven't seen. Oh, I see the hat. That is a good hat.
Yeah, it's a good hat.
Milwaukee Brewers Hot Dog Club. I might. You know what? The price of the admission is worth the hat. The hat is worth the price of admission. $59.99. Hurry up! And I love that they're doing this at the beginning of the season because you basically get the full season's worth. Every game you're at, you get a dog. What are dogs running now? I know you can get the kids ones.
$7 or $8?
Yeah, it's a steal. Right?
Yeah.
If
you're going to spend your summer at AmFam Field and you're going to be there a whole bunch, stop by.
If you go to 10 games, it pays for itself.
You don't have to do that much work to end up in the positive here on the dog scale.
I've been
plus you get the
urge.
Hat. And if you eat the most hot dogs, you get top recognition for most dogs redeemed.
There's a leaderboard?
Well, you only get one per game, but, you know.
The hot dog king, Abe Froman.
Yeah. Sausage king of Chicago. Give me the sausage king of Milwaukee, the hot dog king of Milwaukee. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still much more to get to as the show wraps up after this.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by you two, but it's just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
There's a winning magic powering up at Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, Milwaukee. This April, prepare for an exciting quest to $300,000 in the Enchanted Spins slot tournament. Conjure your rewards card, play your favorite slots, and earn drawing entries. Every Thursday, 60 winners will compete for thousands in cash and prizes. So let your journey begin with Enchanted Spins. Only at Pottawatomie. More info online. Must be 21 and a rewards member to play.
With a one or a two. Been a heck of a ride, but I'm thinking it's time to grow.
Joshy, did you say you spent a little bit of your Easter Sunday at the old Pottawatomie?
And when I said a little bit, I was there for about 5 hours.
Oh, you spent the whole thing.
Much of it. Yes, it was a great thing to go do. You can, you know, go eat your... We all had our lunch. And then we hit the slots, hit a few tables, played a little video poker. I, of course, had some adult beverages. It was probably one of my favorite Easters. Because you just got to do what you want. You kind of, every so often, you said, hey, how you doing over here? You up, you down? And then you move on and live your life. It's been a lot of fun. Did I win? No, I got smoked. Yeah.
And yet it still didn't affect you. Yeah.
I had a good time. I'm not going to the casino, especially playing the slots, to like, I'm not like, oh, I need to win money. It's like, whatever. I set it aside. This is how much I'm willing to lose. Once I lose it, I will then watch and have myself some drinks.
I was going to say, it's like anything else. You got entertained for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Like, what does that cost generally?
Yeah.
Where did you just sit at slots the entire time? Did you mix it up? Any table games? Wander over the sports book? Sprinkle anything down there?
I did go into the sports book. Did not sprinkle anything. I just watched some Brewers there because why not? The best place.
Should have taken the over for stolen bases yesterday.
Nine franchise record.
Who saw that coming, man?
Six in the first inning.
There was a point where the Brewers took a lead and I kind of stopped paying attention and then looked back up and said, this game's still going? Like, what's going on here? They're winning by more?
Save some runs for the rest of the month. Rest of the month, gang. I want to check out the polls this morning. We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. You can always weigh in on our polls every single day on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. How many perfect weather days do we have here in Wisconsin? Chew, it's going to shock you, but our loyal listeners think that we've got 25 or more. 40% of people say you got 25 or more perfect days here in Wisconsin.
Might be a little high. Yeah, to me, it only matters is it on the weekend. Right.
Now it's moving money. The goalposts. Classic moving the goalposts.
Your life is a weekend.
At least from 9:01 on.
Sometimes starting at 7:01.
And the other poll we put on there was, how much time are you willing to wait at TSA before getting frustrated with the wait? Very good way of phrasing that, Josh. Because, yes, you will wait until you get through to go to your destination. But what do you kind of anticipate? What do you, like, this is what it should be, right? How do we match expectations here? 10 to 20 minutes, 40% of people. Now, I bet a lot of those people are going through General Mitchell International Airport.
I was about to
say,
we're in Milwaukee. We're not used to waiting for anything in Milwaukee. Come on. Just fly through security there.
Although, what's weird is that 22% of people said 30 minutes or more.
Oh, forget about it.
All or nothing. One or zero, apparently. Will Dientosh is next on ESPN Milwaukee. Have a great one, everybody.